We are live from the Nicholson Fieldhouse on the campus of the University of Central Florida. This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with a senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osier. We're inside, and we're a couple hours away from the UCF Pro Day, including quarterback Blake Bortles.
Well, first of all, I'm glad you got the memo on the jacket.
Right.
So, yeah, and this is an exciting day. We were at Bridgewater on Monday. Being here today should give you a good chance to compare these guys very up close within a 72-hour period. So it's an exciting day to get a chance to watch the guy who may be the most prototypical NFL quarterback in the draft.
Another big national media day as well. NFL Network, NBC, ESPN is here. And our guest today on Jaguars.com Live is from ESPN.
Speaking of ESPN.
Sal Palantonio. Sal, how are you? And thanks for your time.
Oh, I'm doing great. And thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
And you didn't get the memo about the jackets, apparently.
Huh? No,
you got enough jackets, but you've got a few of these.
I get outfitted by my wife, and she does a pretty good job of it.
This is these pro days have really turned into quite an event everywhere we go. We were in Louisville a couple of days ago. A huge crowd there, of course. You guys are traveling around to a bunch of them. But that wasn't always the case in the past. How has this really grown over the last few years?
Well, the NFL, you know, drives viewers to the TV and to the internet, and ESPN recognizes that. And the draft is a huge event for ESPN television. We were the first ones to televise it live, and we still do televise it live. And it's great to be here with Ron Jaworski, my guy on the matchup show for 12 years, and Todd McShay does a good job scouting players, and George O'Leary, the head coach of UCF's, they've done a great job welcoming us, having us here. We've been live since 9 a.m. today at the Fieldhouse. And when you have the number one pick in the draft, or the possible number one pick in the draft, there's a lot of people interested. And you got 27 NFL teams here with a huge contingent from the AFC South, beginning with the Houston Texans at the number one pick and Jacksonville number three. So we want to pay attention to what's going on.
I'm curious, Sal, you got in yesterday, I know. I've been to a lot of these pro days, but it's usually at a Florida State, a big school with the big tradition. You've been to a lot of them, too. It's kind of neat to be at one where it's a new thing for them.
We've never been here at UCF. UCF's never been in the top 10 before. The last first-round pick they had, I believe, was Dante Culpepper, was taken around 11 or 12 in 1999 in the Donovan McNabb draft. So if Bortles goes number one overall, obviously it'll be an historic event for this school. And when you consider what has been built here by George O'Leary, it's phenomenal. We were just with Brandon Marshall, who graduated from here, I think, 6 or 7 years ago. Might have been a little bit longer, 2005, maybe 9 years ago. The stadium wasn't here. Bright House Field wasn't here. This facility, Nicholson Fieldhouse, wasn't here. So O'Leary has really built up this athletic program, and now they've had their first top 10 finish, and now they may have their first number one overall pick. And we're honestly really looking to see if Blake Bortles can do a much better job on Pro Day than Teddy Bridgewater did. Now, Bortles threw at the combine, and he had a tremendous college career. So we'll have to see if he can put another little piece of the tile into the mosaic and convince these coaches. Like I said, 27 teams are here. Bill O'Brien's here last night. He met with Bill O'Brien. He met with Gus Bradley, head coach of the Jaguars. He met with Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. He's met with Cleveland and Oakland. So he's met with those five teams already.
And you're a guy who believes he may go number one.
Well, Todd McShay, our draft guy, has picked him as going number one. I think it's between Bortles and Jadeveon Clowney, with Greg Robinson, the tackle from Auburn, as a possible. But I think Bill O'Brien's looking for a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, we put that label on guys, but, you know, is he Andrew Luck or is he Jake Locker, or Blake Bortles? And that is the key. But the question is, if O'Brien doesn't take him, let's say Jadeveon Clowney's the number one overall pick, then St. Louis, John, is sitting there at number two. What do the Jaguars do?
That's where the fun starts.
That's where the fun starts. Do the Rams try to entice the Jaguars to move up a spot because they convinced the Jaguars that maybe Minnesota's trying to move up from eight or Cleveland's trying to go up there and flip over Jacksonville, and then Jacksonville misses out on Clowney and Bortles, and they're sitting there at three with not really a sexy pick?
Now, I'm a big believer that Dave Caldwell, the GM, is not a big smokescreen guy, but you think this year in the draft, everybody's going to be shooting out smokescreens. for this reason?
Well, I think at number two they will. Right. That's the pivot point. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be convinced to jump up to number one to get any of these players. O'Brien's going to have to make a pick at number one. Okay. And the question is, where does he go? And that will impact the rest of the first round. At number two, the Rams will probably want to move out. If Clowney's gone, they don't need a quarterback. They're on record saying Sam Bradford's mm-hmm. their guy. So if they sit there, you know, Dave Caldwell could say, all right, you go ahead and pick Greg Robinson. Go ahead, you know, and we'll take Bortles at three. And Snead gets back on the phone with him, John, and says, oh, yeah, we're not going to take him. We got Norv Turner and Mike Zimmer on the phone. They've given us enough to jump up. What's your offer?
Now, the draft has gotten fun again. 3 or 4 years ago with the rookie cap, I mean, without the rookie cap, not a lot of trades. But it's to the point now where you can do whatever you want on draft day.
You can.
In terms of
you're taking money out of the equation.
Right?
It's no longer, yeah, I'll move up, but then I've got to mortgage the future on a guy I'm not sure about. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing. And when people say there's no franchise quarterback, there doesn't really have to be, although you're probably not going to pick a quarterback in this group, Bridgewater, Bortles, Manziel, in the top five, unless you're sure about that guy.
You got to be in love with him.
Yeah, you got to be in love with him.
Sal Palantonio is with us. This is Jaguars.com live from Central Florida. Let's get back to today a little bit with Blake Bortles. What do you expect to see out of him today? Prototypical size. This is an environment where a guy like that can really shine, right?
Well, yeah, of course. But I think we've got to see how he reacts to the pressure. We just saw Teddy Bridgewater not react well to the pressure of being in front of all those coaches, scouts, and general managers. He just was shaky, you know, to be charitable about it, and may have really severely hurt his stock. You know, Ron Jaworski said, you know, he may have dropped out of the first round with that performance. So that's a pretty precipitous drop based on one performance. Being that bad, though, you could see where he could go that way, Jaws. So, I mean, I think Bortles has to react to the pressure of everybody being here. You know, he's an interesting guy, Bortles. He was recruited as a tight end by Purdue University. That was the only other Division I school that was even giving him a look. UCF was the team that said, all right, you're a quarterback. He comes in, he plays 2 years, and he has three great wins last year. At Penn State, Nittany Lions, beats Bill O'Brien, goes to Teddy Bridgewater's house in Louisville, beats him in the fourth quarter on a comeback drive, and then beats the Big 12 champion Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl in January. And in those games, 8 touchdown passes, only 4 interceptions. So you know he's reacting well to the pressure. And just talking to George O'Leary, I was in his office for about a half an hour this morning before we went on live. O'Leary said to me, listen, he's not going to kill you with his 40 time. We know what he ran at the combine. I think it was a 4.9 something. Jaws had a 4.65, by the way, coming out of Youngstown.
Wow.
State.
Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah. No, right? Jaws was recruited as a catcher coming mm-hmm. out of college and baseball. So he had a good arm and he could play as an athlete. But, you know, he had a combine time. O'Leary said, it's not going to kill you in the 40, but he has functional mobility in the pocket. And O'Leary said, quote, he's going to take bad plays and keep them alive, a la Roethlisberger. So that's the kind of thing that I think these coaches and scouts are going to be looking for, is how does he react to the pressure of being in a confined space here, in an environment where he's got to perform at a high level. And what was Bortles' quote? I'm not going to put the ball on the ground in my pro day. Pretty bold statement.
Find out today a little after 2 o'clock, we're told, is when he will actually throw here. We'll have it on Jaguars.com. What's next for you, Sal? What's next on the trip here? You're here covering this, but what about yourself?
Yeah, we're going to go to Jadeveon Clowney's pro day next at South Carolina. That comes up. And then Johnny Manziel's. We'll check that out as well. And then we'll get ready for the draft, you know. And then all work, no play for Sal Pal is not good. So I'll probably take at least a week off before the draft coming up on May 8th. Spend Easter Sunday with my family. How's that sound?
That sounds pretty good, actually.
All right, good.
Yeah, exactly.
You deserve some time. Hey, we'll see you at both of those, too. We'll all be right, at College cool. Station and in Columbia as well. And we really appreciate your time today, Sal.
My pleasure.
Sal,
Sal Palantonio,
appreciate it, buddy.
From ESPN, joining us on Jaguars.com live from the University of Central Florida. Always great to hear from a different perspective, John.
Yeah, and one of the best, you know, he's obviously a TV guy, and he's been doing TV for a long time, ESPN. Very solid reporter, and when he says something, it's well-researched. Impressive guy.
Let's go into social media. Let's get you involved, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. The first one from Twitter, from Palmetto Fresh SC. Any chances the Jags sign any more big names, and if so, who? I think he's talking free agency. Of course, the Jags were active early, John, and what, six or seven new faces now with the addition of Doss, the wide receiver, yesterday. What's on the horizon? I don't know if there's a lot.
When you say big names, first of all, you know, the Jaguars tend, I think, smartly not to be, I'm going to go after that big name. They're not there yet. I'm not sure they ever will be with this regime. Mm-hmm. You want to be smart in free agency, and you want to pick guys that you think can help you more than make that, you know, March 8th splash. It'd be hard to sign a big name because there's not really any big names out there left. So I think you'll see them do what they did yesterday. Tandon Doss, a guy that is out there, he has experience, but probably doesn't qualify as a big name wide receiver. They think he can help him. They think he can compete for a punt return job. So I think you'll see things like that. As you go along and as the market sort of settles back down, you can pick your spots and get a guy who may help but may not be that big name.
Let's go back to social media. This is from PCP Austin 84. If Maurice Jones-Drew stays unsigned, how late will the Jags wait until signing him if they still want him at all? And this is one that's quite interesting because, you know, Toby Gerhart was signed and was pretty much named the starting running back for the Jaguars without, you know, really truly saying that. But you get the feeling he is for what he signed for. If Mojo's back, it might have to be in a like a third down kind of role, right?
Yeah, I'd, at this point, 7 or 8 days in, you know, you never say never in this league because when you go into free agency, markets can change, situations can change, agents can call GMs and say, well, what are we thinking now? We knew what you were thinking 3 or 4 days ago. I'm not holding my breath on him being back. I loved having him back, enjoyed covering him, a great player for this franchise. I'd probably express it that it would be very surprising if he was back.
Let's continue. Let's go to Facebook. Is there as great a concern for the level of competition for Bortles as there is for Bridgewater? This is from Kenny Bradford Jr. on Facebook. You know, that's the question mark. The American Athletic Conference, or both Louisville was, and they're moving to the ACC next year. But a lot of the question about the competition week in and week out, does it have anything to do with Bortles?
Well, I'd say it's about the same question. I mean, I don't think they played dramatically different college schedules, and you know, I don't hear that much with Bridgewater. I know it's something that's out there, something you read occasionally in the draft stuff, but when you talk to NFL people, that's not a huge concern. The concern the other day was he didn't throw the ball very well,
right?
And the concern you hear is more about the physical stuff. It's about the size, it's about the slightness of build. I think that's more of a concern, is when you look at him, he just doesn't jump out as that NFL prototype the way Bortles does. But you know, I don't get the impression Roethlisberger didn't play against great competition. There right. are situations where it happens. I think they look at the data, the numbers, and things like that, and they'll use that as their gauge more than they will as competition.
This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. We are live from the University of Central Florida in the Nicholson Fieldhouse, where today, somewhere around 2:30, Blake Bortles will throw inside of this facility today as part of the UCF Pro Day. We'll have it right here on Jaguars.com. So stay with us throughout the day. We will break down in a little bit and come back closer to that 2 o'clock window. Just keep on Twitter for the latest on the timing updates from UCF today. You know, this is a unique situation for all three of these quarterbacks, John, the big three, Manziel, Bortles, and Bridgewater, in that they really are going into these pro days with a little – they all – each really have to prove something at their pro day, right?
Well, it's a unique thing because it's almost become sort of the two-week quarterback derby, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing when you think about it, because every NFL person you talk to, every scout will tell you, out of all the stuff that people look at to grade guys, the pro day performance might be the lowest on the totem pole. And yet, because of Twitter, because of – you know, people like us streaming live and looking at it and playing it up, it's become a thing where sort of every person who's into the draft, every self-styled guru, every fan is watching this. And it was interesting. We were at the Louisville Pro Day on Monday, and I was checking my Twitter feed like everybody else was, and literally Teddy's stock went from we have to take him number one to this guy can't play at all to okay, he's okay. And then it was up and down within seconds. And I'm not sure any set of quarterbacks has ever really had to go through that on that sort of a instantaneous, everybody can see it going, you know, instant gratification, whatever world we live in now. I don't know that any quarterback really had to go through that. So it's very interesting. Even a couple years ago, Andrew Luck was sort of the guy. And then last year, you kind of got an idea that there was not going to be a guy in the top 10. Geno Smith might have gone in the top 10, but probably not. So you didn't have this intense interest. When all of a sudden, within about an 8 or 9 day period, all three of these guys are throwing, and everybody on Twitter is going to make the snap judgment. He's awful. He's great. So it's a very unique environment that wouldn't have existed, 5, 6 years ago.
It's just a real challenge for them to block it all out.
Well, it's pressure. Because
they're all on social media and they see it, but they got to be isolated somehow and teach themselves how to do that.
And I think that more than anything is
it's not going to stop moving forward.
That's what people look for, I think, more than anything. I remember I used to talk to Tony Dungy when I was with the Colts about what he looked for at the combine. Mm-hmm. And he would always say, I watch some of the drills, but I look for how guys handle themselves because it's a pressurized situation. Gus Bradley talks about it with competition. So you look and see how a guy handles himself in a situation where there is stress. It's not normal. So I think as much as anything, they look for that. How do you respond when the lights are on? Does it matter that much if every throw is perfect, if everything's perfect out here? No. But do you take control of the situation? Do you take advantage of an opportunity when it's there? And it's sort of that intangible that maybe makes the last piece of the puzzle. I don't, by the way, think that Bridgewater drops out of the first round. I'd be surprised.
That was kind of bold.
Yeah, well, and Jaws knows more about quarterbacking than I do, and probably about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I'd be surprised if a guy drops just based off of pro day. If he's going to drop based off the pro day, he probably was going to drop pretty substantially anyway.
Well, Geno Smith was supposed to be a top five pick last year too. That didn't happen.
And a lot of times, the common perception that people have from the internet, because of the internet, and because everybody's sort of going off of each other's information and become sort of a self-serving prophecy, a lot of times what's out there on the internet is not really what these guys are thinking in the last couple of weeks. There's often a big disconnect there.
This is Jaguars.com live from the Nicholson Fieldhouse on the campus of the University of Central Florida. J.P. Shadrick with the senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osier. The UCF Pro Day coming up in just a matter of hours here. We'll carry the throwing session live right here. Hope you stick with us today. Let's get back to Bridgewater's day. Mm-hmm. We covered it just a little bit earlier in this show. Of course, we were there in Louisville on Monday. It was a bigger day for him because he didn't throw at the combine in Indianapolis. It made that day much more important for him, right? And compare that to Bortles, who did throw in Indy and might, I don't know if you call it a mulligan today or something, but he had an extra workout in front of everybody.
Well, I think a guy like Bortles, who was not the name that Bridgewater was coming into the season, he wasn't the guy everybody attached themselves to. He's doing a smart thing, taking advantage of every opportunity. He's a confident guy, and there are football people who like a guy who will go out there and say, you know what, I don't care what the situation is, I'm going to go out there and perform. There are people who like that. On the other hand, as we saw on Monday, really the pro days, if you're a top 10, top 20 guy, there's often not a lot of room to go up. It's usually more about a mistake, a bad day can raise red flags that cause scouts to go back in, to check stuff that maybe they thought they were sure on. That's what happened to Teddy the other day. Clearly there are scouts and GMs now who are going to be going back into the film and going, okay, did I miss something? And then I think what will happen for the most part is they'll look at it and go, no, okay, this is what I thought it was. That I liked what I saw on tape. I believe in my scouting. I still have this guy wherever he was. They're not going to base it on a day in shorts.
Sure.
But a guy like Bortles, who is more of your prototypical guy, he can come out, and if people are thinking of him as a top 3 or 4 pick, he can solidify that because there is an element of, I guess it's human nature in scouts, where they want to come to a day like this and they want to kind of walk out of there going, yeah, that's pretty good. They want to be able to, as they're driving to the airport, to go, hey, remember that throw. It just makes you feel better about your purchase, like anything. So if he does that, clearly he solidifies himself, but I don't think it does any more than raise some red flags and cause teams to go back in and look.
J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. This is Jaguars.com live. Glad you're with us today. At Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier. We're live from the Nicholson Fieldhouse at UCF. We talked with Sal a little earlier about this, but I think you asked him the question. It's pretty cool to kind of be around a program that's their biggest day in one of their biggest days in program history. Yes, they've built the stadium. They've done a lot of great things here. But today, in terms of moving guys on to the next level, doesn't get bigger than this day.
Well, I covered some pro day, you know, and it's always fascinating for me to come to a pro day like this. 1995, the University of Florida is my first pro day. I saw Kevin Carter run like a 4.58 and really, you know, helped himself a lot that day. But it was different back then. You would go down. There was no Twitter. There was no – it was even before the internet really got big in terms of newspapers. So you went down. You wrote your story. You came back home, and it was a very low-key thing. I doubt that story even ran on page one of the Times Union, put it that way.
Right.
There was no streaming live off the Kevin Carter Pro Day, or when Fred Taylor ran his 4.2 or whatever he ran a couple years later. They were sort of these stories you would hear off Pro Days that were sort of legends. You know, you hear scouts talk about them and say, I was at this guy's Pro Day at this day. And it was sort of hang out and talk to other scouts at the Pro Day and hear these stories. Well, now they're right on the front page. They're big deals, and it's amazing when you think about it that we're standing here talking about a pro day, a guy throwing in shorts, not even on their main field, might be one of the biggest days, maybe the biggest day in the program's history. That's how much all of this offseason has changed, how big the offseason's become for both college and pro.
And, you know, he was talking about Coach O'Leary and what this program has really gone through since his move here to Orlando, and this building wasn't here. Stadium wasn't here. I mean, it really kind of started things on an upward incline, and the program's off and running now.
No question.
Really,
I mean, you're talking Brandon Marshall being here. You're talking a school that gets first-round picks now. So, I mean, it can't hurt this school.
And, by the way, Marshall did walk in here a little earlier. I'm not sure if he's around. Or most of the day, he was around here today, the Bears wide receiver as well. John, this is a great show here at UCF today.
Yeah, and
pretty cool to see Sal.
Yeah, it's always – I think he's right on a lot of things that he was talking about, and it's always interesting to hear his perspective. He talks to a lot of people. To have a chance to have talked to O'Leary, he's got a good feel for what's going on. I think he's right. The top of the draft on that night and in the days leading up to it, I think are going to be much different than anything the Jaguars have been involved with maybe in their history in terms of having a third pick, there being quarterbacks involved, there being a lot of open trading. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Does he become Trader Dave? We'll see.
We'll find out. That's May right. 8th, I suppose, on the opening round of the NFL draft. That'll do it for today on Jaguars.com Live. For John Osier, J.P. Shadrick, our thanks to Sal Palantonio as well. We'll be back a little bit later. Check Twitter at Jaguars for the latest live information for UCF Pro Day. This is Jaguars.com Live.